Today I want to talk about remorse. Basically, remorse, the way I like to define it, is the regret that we feel when we do something wrong or when we neglect to do something right. It's that feeling of repentance related to wrongdoing or not doing something right. That's how I define remorse. And based on my own experience, you know, whenever I have felt any of these emotions, there always has been that unpleasant feeling, slight burning sensation in the embodiment. You just don't feel right. At least I don't. And so based on that experiential understanding, I'm proposing today that remorse, guilt, or repentance, or worrying, I'm proposing that all these are intrinsically unwholesome in nature. Because I know there are some philosophies where they actually encourage repentance, right? There are some practices where, or some philosophies where people say it's good to worry. Unless we worry, how can we get off our butts? You know, you must have heard that expression too, you know. But what I'm proposing here today, based on my experience, is that none of these things are profitable. Always they will lead to loss. What you guys, what is your opinion?
How can we avoid this state?
How can we avoid? Sure, we're going to talk about that. But first, I just want to hear what is your philosophy has been. Do you think repentance is good, or worrying is good, or guilt? Anybody?
We can certainly learn from remorse.
I think if you look into it and then you regret something, you might not repeat that kind of behavior later on.
Okay. If you regret over something, then you are less likely to repeat the same mistake. Okay.
I'm not so sure about that. Okay. If you regret something, you're contracting. So that might actually cause it to happen again. I imagine a fully balanced person wouldn't need to have those states.
That's wonderful. Okay. What do you, Paul? Let's say you get angry. Do you regret about anger, or do you suggest it's necessary to regret or repent over the screw up, or what?
For me, it's viewpoint contingent, because those things are really contingent on my existential survival.
Very nice.
I guess I feel like they don't, any of those don't serve me.
The reason I'm proposing this to be inherently unprofitable, unwholesome, unskillful, is because at the deepest level, subtlest level, all these emotions strengthen the sense of separate self. You know? Mm-hmm. It reinforces that sense of I-ness, you know, that separation. And we'll get into that later on. Basically what they do is they actually fuel three fundamental elements that give rise to the separate self: the greed, hatred, and delusion. And we can actually look at the whole process, how that actually happens phenomenologically, you know. But the point is, at a very subtle level, you are strengthening your separate self. Whenever you are regretting or remorseful or feeling guilty. Second, which is very pragmatic reason why I call this unskillful or unprofitable, is these things really make the already bad situation worse. You know, I've experienced that again and again. You know, I get angry at someone, hurt somebody, you know, and then the remorse kicks in, right? Mm-hmm. What happens? Now I get angry at myself.
Mm-hmm. Or you feel guilty.
Right, so that, exactly, so you are multiplying the anger. You're angry at somebody and harming somebody. Now you're angry at yourself and now harming yourself. Mm-hmm. And then third thing I have realized that whenever there is remorse, for some reason the mind gets enslaved in thinking about right doing and wrong doing. You see, it just gets into that loop. Oh, I shouldn't have done this. I have done that. This should have been done this way, and maybe not this way, or maybe, and so on and so forth. You don't have to repent to purify your heart or to cleanse your sins. You don't have to worry so you can be active. That's another big thing. There's no need to worry. You can have a concern, right? There is a very popular phrase, worry freezes you, concern motivates you. Have you heard that one?
Mm-mm. That's a good one.
So why to worry? Mm-hmm. I would go a step further. I would say wonder, not even concern, you know? Just wonder about the future. Embrace the uncertainty, you know.
Yeah, be excited about what may come.
What might come, yeah. Live carefully, not carelessly. Mm. We've talked about that quite a bit, but just embracing uncertainty and learning to live carefully. Whenever you worry, there will be distressing of consciousness. It will put pressure on your consciousness, your ability to reflect and to look at cause and effect relations, you know, to find, to skillfully evaluate the conditions and then come up with a solution, you know. Mm-hmm. In a worrisome state of mind, in a distressed state of consciousness, whatever we come up with might not be the best solution. In my case, most likely, bottom line is, whatever we figure out with a relaxed and tranquil state of mind will be more profitable than in a worrisome or distressed or tense state of mind. I think everybody would agree with that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the difference between worry to me sounds like I'm focused on the problem. And wonder says, I'm focused on the solution.
That's a good one. Or you can say wonder means I'm focused on the problem as well as solution. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
You could also say when you worry, you contract your energy.
Right.
And so it can't flow, and the creative solutions won't come easily to you.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're blocking.
You'll be in a state of contraction, and how are you going to be open to, you know, seeing? Because there's always a solution.
Exactly.
You know, and you forget to trust the process too.
Right.
That anything that comes towards us, we're meant to be able to handle.
That's a profound statement. Absolutely, the fact that there's a problem means there is a solution.
Yeah.
So, and how do we skillfully find a solution that is profitable, not just a quick fix, that is profitable in the short term as well as long term?
Well, it also says that, you know, all that's possibilities. And if you go into the solution, you're also going into the possibility that this might be helpful, this might not be helpful. You always go in with that, not getting so caught in having a right solution. Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, there are solutions and let's try them and let's see what right. happens here.
Yeah. So basically, this is what I suggest that we do whenever regret arises or remorse or guilt. Quickly get your attention to the breath. Some forceful breathing. Let go, let go, let go, let go. Mm-hmm. Once you come out of that energy, that cycle, the unwholesome power, then you reflect upon it. Find out what has caused this. What is the conditionality behind what has happened? You know. And then embracing that understanding. And refraining from repeating the mistake. Very simple. That's all. But that refraining, that effort behind not repeating the same mistake is not like will. It's not just will. Okay? I'm not going to make this mistake again. I've tried that a lot, it doesn't work, at least for me. Just the will doesn't work. You know? It has to be combined with wisdom and understanding. What is going on?
And non-judgment. Because when you judge, you contract.
Right. In fact, the moment you start breathing and you let go and you quickly start reasoning and reflecting, where's the space for judgment?
Yeah.
Right? That judgment is related to ego, right? The greed, hatred, delusion thing. So quickly getting into that mode of reflection and reasoning, no space for judgment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, it's not me who has gotten angry. There is anger. That's it. Anger is anger, not my anger. Okay, bang. Now you have some energy, some openness, and you start finding out what is the cause behind this. Cause-effect relations.
I can say from my experience, it is easier to come out of regret and analyze things, and like you said, but I've seen worry, when you are engulfed in worry, it is extremely hard. You cannot even think right when you are, you know, you have all that worry and anxiety on your mind.
Yeah.
And it's other two are easier to, way easier to deal with than the worry.
That's why worry is called the subtlest manifestation of remorse. Very subtly it engulfs you, binds you, afflicts you. Very subtly. But there is a way. It's very difficult, but it's not impossible, you know. And the best way is to, because the energy of worry is subtly, just like the nuclear energy, you know, it's subtle. The subtler you go, the more powerful it is, right? So you need a powerful tool to break that feedback loop, you know. Instead of feedbacking, you have to feed forward. Now how you do that? By, you know, feed forward. So once you are into the moment, then you start reasoning and reflecting. Please try that and then share your experience with us. At least on a personal level, I know that this thing is not going to happen overnight. Right? Just like when we learn walking, how many times we fail? But every time we fail, we got up, tried again. So that, you know, that mantra, never giving up, but letting go. When were we regretting when you fail? Oh, I fail, and then worried about whether you'll ever be able to walk? No, we simply got up, tried again. You see? When you fail,
that's a good example.
Got up, try it again. again and again until we are where we are. So it is with regret and remorse and guilt. And actually, it's good to know that it's going to take some time. Yeah? It's a mental thing. It's a mental flu. Or bodily flu takes 7 days, you know? And here we're talking about mind, you know? It's going to take some time. But you can heal yourself and overcome the fever, that's for sure.
I like some of the points that you made, the wrong solution, the golden sex, and some other ones, but it seems like most of our daily life, we act as a soldier. We don't have a choice when we work on a solution.
That's a good point. Soldier, you mean we are in a fight or flight response, fight or flee response, right? That's a good one. Whenever there is remorse, guilt, especially worry, anxiety, there is always this neuropeptide called plasma cortisol. And that neuropeptide, plasma cortisol, is health eroding chemical, you know. So in fact, the body is also telling you that these things are unwholesome. On the other hand, when there is reason, reflection, relaxation, there is a hormone called plasma lactin, if you want to correct me on that, which is a health promoting neuropeptide. Even at a very physical level, the universe, the nature is telling us that fight or flight or anxiety, worry, these things are through in, throughout, inherently unwholesome, unskillful, unprofitable. More important thing to know is something called the HPA axis. What happens is, when these unwholesome emotions occur, the hypothalamus just becomes very active. I think it's in that book that you mentioned, Bruce Lipton.
It's hypothalamus, which is the
adrenaline. Adrenaline. So hypothalamus kicks in, and it sends the neurotransmitters to the pituitary gland, and then there is your adrenaline shooting into the bloodstream. A lot of adrenaline again and again, overloading the system is very bad for the body. So,
biology of belief?
Biology of belief.
Bruce Lipton. You've worked with him?
Yeah,
I've met him. Yeah. So that the HPA, he calls the HPA axis, right? Yeah. I call the axis of suffering. You know? So how we jump over that axis of suffering through, instead of remorse, we reason, instead of regret, we reflect, instead of worry, we wonder. The issue is what is skillful and what is not. The issue is, so doing something that is skillful versus unskillful, doing something that minimizes pain and suffering. And you see, so denial is not a solution, abandonment is definitely not a solution, running away is not a solution.
But attachment isn't a solution either, so.
Right. So in fact, so attachment manifests as these things, denial or abandonment, you see. So if we constantly, skillfully work on eradicating attachment, now that doesn't mean detachment, that's another problem. Eradicating attachment means going beyond attachment and detachment, which is non-attachment. Everything comes down to transcendence, really. we really have to understand what is transcendence.
I see that bridge in both the points. But the conditionalities are real. You mentioned the frame of reference. You are in a frame of reference of doing, because you think you are the doer.
Temporal.
That's because there is ego.
Doing, I'm here.
But what I think Sam is suggesting is transcend the doing to your inward being. It's a different frame of reference.
And it's not just a philosophical viewpoint. It's very pragmatic, very real, very practical. What all I'm saying out of discernment, that the ones on the left, remorse, regret, worry, are unskillful, at least you are able to accept that, are unprofitable, and the ones on the right, reason, reflect, wonder, are skillful and profitable. At least that much I'm sure everybody would agree.
And you can judge that, you can even discern that by how you respond to that feeling.
Right.
In the body.
Absolutely.
Oh, and
so maybe starting with that, knowing what is skillful, what is unskillful, what is wholesome, what is unwholesome, then maybe with establishment of understanding, you will come with some firm thoughts that this is inherently, intrinsically poisonous. And it won't be any longer a judgment. It will be your discernment.
Eckhart Tolle actually says the other thing. He says, from what I've read in his books, I'm not sure all of you have read his books, he actually says there's this moment where you get out of whack far enough that there's this kind of reconciling, a crescendo kind of reconciling, because if there's a certain amount of awareness with this lack of balance, because this speaks about balance, a sattvic way of going about it. Mm-hmm. And Eckhart Tolle actually suggests one of the best ways, and his method, which his experience was, I'm sleeping on a park bench and this is really messed up. Mm-hmm. And there was this moment where I got it, because it was so messed up, it dragged me to this place where I got it. So this is a sattvic approach to something. And certainly probably the most skillful, as you said. But those things could ultimately, it's the critical ingredient is, are you looking while you're doing all that?
Right.
Is my,
I love the word sattvic. I think it's beautiful. It really summarizes pretty much the whole thing that we do here together.